And we're back at the IAC Pavilion with Doug Bartlett, the IAC president, and a couple of really performance-oriented aerobatic pilots. We have Jeff Bourbon, the current U.S. National Aerobatic Champion, with us, and Rob Holland, a past World Advanced Aerobatic Champion, joining us again this year. We talked to you last year, Rob. Welcome. Thanks for coming. Yeah, you can use that one. That's fine.
It's good to be here.
Anyway, hey, guys, tell us about competition, especially in the advanced levels. Tell us what it's all about.
What it's about? Well, it's about a lot of work. That's the number one thing. We work hard here at the IAC to build up a good foundation with the lower categories. You have a primary, sportsman, intermediate, and then you get a great foundation in many different airplanes learning this skill. And then as you move up to advanced and unlimited, you really get to let that shine.
Now, typically in aviation, big airplanes, high-performance airplanes are actually easier to fly than low-performance airplanes, although you start in low-performance airplanes and work your way up. Would you say that a high-performance aerobatic airplane is much easier to fly than, say, a super decathlon?
In a lot of ways, I would say it is easier to fly. However, you learn so many of the basics of how to fly an airplane flying the lower-performance airplanes. You understand energy management better. You understand the use of the rudder and when to use the rudder and how to manage a lower powered airplane really gives you a good foundation to be able to fly the higher performance airplanes to perfection.
Rob, tell us about getting into the upper levels of competing and what it takes, a lot of work, like Jeff said, but to get into that world competition, what do you have to do?
Well, like Jeff said, it is an awful lot of work, but at the same time, it's an awful lot of fun. And at the end of the day, if it's not fun, what's the point?
Right, exactly.
So you got to enjoy doing it. But it's just a long road, and you know, a lot of dedication, a lot of time, a lot of practice, a lot of commitment, and there's no plan B. You got to go for plan A and not have any alternatives.
So, you take your own airplane over to Europe to compete, right, in Russia, and so do they containerize them and send them over, or how do you get your airplane over there?
Some people put them in containers and put them on boat. My airplane's actually going on cargo locks onto a 7-4 and getting shipped over, so there's different methods to get them over there.
Wow, so they just remove the wings and put them in wing racks and slide them into a big box?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. So is it important for you as a world competitor to have your own airplane?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you show up and you fly somebody else's airplane. I mean, you're grateful to have access to it, but you're automatically flying with a handicap.
Yeah.
It's like golfing with somebody else's clubs.
Because I know that in the sailplane business, a lot of the competitions, they actually borrow airplanes. They don't really ship them over to Europe. And I would think that'd be a disadvantage.
On this level, actually, a lot of people borrow airplanes, too. Like, when we go over there, the South African team, three of their members are going to be borrowing my airplane. So there's a lot of camaraderie with that, and it's nice to do. But it's definitely kind of a handicap to not fly your own plane.
What kind of airplane do you have, Rob?
I have an MX-2.
And how about you, Jeff?
I'm flying the latest single-seat Extra 330SC.
Difference between the two?
Mine's black.
Mine's better. No. I think they're both top-level unlimited airplanes. That's all there's to it.
Well, and Debbie was saying they're just not making that many high-performance competition airplanes anymore. MX and the Extras are pretty much the only...
That's about it, right? I mean, not...
Yeah, the MX is making aircraft still. Extras making aircraft, and that's... For the top-of-the-line stuff, that's pretty much it.
Tell us a little bit about when you're over in Europe, are the courses... Are the programs the same, or do they vary and change by competition?
Well, the Q or the known sequence, that's same throughout the year here and over there. There's the freestyle, which you design your own program and has to meet certain criteria, and you submit it, and you fly that. And then there's the unknowns, which are made up on the site, and everyone's kind of on the same page flying them for the first time.
Uh-huh. Jeff, tell us a little bit about your routine.
Well, this year I'm flying a brand new free program. I worked really hard with Sergei Rachmanin, who's our coach this year, to get something that you always want something that you fly really well, but you also want to have something the judges are going to grade really well. So that's what we worked hard on this year, to get something that looks spectacular and the judges are going to appreciate as well.
And how about you, Rob?
Pretty much along the same lines. And you also, I think you try to design a sequence that shows off the best attributes of your airplane. And that's kind of how I tailor mine.
Do you guys both, what's your favorite maneuver?
Oh boy, I don't know. Snap rolls.
Snap rolls?
Yeah, because I think I've done more snap rolls than any other figure because they're the most difficult. So by default, they're just my favorite.
What about Lumshavaks?
Of course.
Who doesn't like a Lumshavak after lunch? Rob, how about you?
I like all the tumbling maneuvers, all the gyroscopics. I mean, it's stuff you don't really do in competition, but you do in air shows and a lot of the wow factor stuff.
Doug, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just want to identify, you know, there's a lot of people are working their way up the line, and they see these, the unlimited pilots, the sky gods or whatever. But I'm telling you, these two ambassadors we have here of our sport, anybody can approach them and talk about entry-level aerobatics, and obviously with the UND program. And I'd just like to thank Jeff and Rob, not only for all the hard work they do, but just for all the support they give, not only to the IAC, but just to anybody who walks up and talks to them and wants to introduce themselves and ask a couple of basic questions. These are the best guys, and AirVenture's full of them from one side or the other. But when it comes to the IAC, boy, these are two of the best representatives that the IAC's ever had. Debbie's another one. And guys, just thanks a lot for supporting the IAC and all you do for us. And please, anybody who wants to come out and talk to them, it's a great opportunity.
We have about 8 more minutes. Let's talk about whatever you guys would like to talk about.
Well, I'm sure Doug's already touched on this, but one of the really cool things about the IAC is the end goal does not have to be unlimited world-level competition. I mean, if you want to do some weekend flying or you just want to become a safer pilot, I mean, there's so many areas of aerobatics you can explore, and this is really the place to get into that.
So. And it doesn't have to be that expensive either. I owned an S1C for a while, and there's also other avenues. You can go race at Reno. You can do. There's all kinds of things that you can do within the sport. It's not always just about aerobatics.
Well, it's not always just about the flying either. We have many people in our sport that come to contests that aren't even pilots. And that's another great thing about the IAC is you can not even be a pilot and still be a great asset to the IAC. And those of us that go out there and fly, we need those volunteers on the ground. And there's a lot of other opportunities with judging or assisting or, you know, contest organizing. There's a lot of things that you can do to get involved in an IAC contest.
Or even just hanging out with cool people and having a fun time.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Tell us a little bit about the judging process. Either one of you, it doesn't matter.
I'll let Jeff talk about that one.
Well, the
Jeff
judging
knows the rules
is
better than anybody.
Yeah, no. Well, the judging is a fine art. We have a very detailed book of how to judge aerobatics, and when it comes down to it, you have 5 judges on the line, and the bottom line is it's subjective. And so it's always interesting to me when one judge sees a line of 45 is steep and then the other judge calls a 45 line shallow. It's all perception, and the judging is difficult in that respect. But I think at the end of the day, at the end of the contest, the guy who flew the best is at the top of the ranking. So although it is subjective, the way they've designed the rule book and with the 5 judges and the scoring programs, it all comes out to the way it should.
I kind of hate to make the comparison, but if you watch figure skating judging, it's kind of along those lines.
Yeah.
Okay. We have 5 minutes to go, and I like to dedicate the end of the show every day to safety. So let's talk about safety a little bit. I think, and I'm sure you'll agree, that every pilot, no matter what they fly, should do a little bit of aerobatic training. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, spins and upset training, you can read about the stuff to you blue in the face, but you've never seen it. How do you know how to deal with it? So, yeah, every pilot should have that sort of training. And if that's just it to become a safer pilot, then that's well worth it.
It is. Jeff?
Well, when you can experience not only to the envelope, but well beyond the envelope, in either slow speed, high speed, G-forces, I think, like Rob said, it's going to help every pilot to have experienced that wide envelope, whether you're flying a Cessna or flying an extra 300.
Talk a little bit about your safety practices, things that you do to make sure that you have a safe aerobatic performance?
You know, I just yesterday I was over there pre-flighting my airplane, and I heard Chris Rudd. I talked to him because he was looking at the David Martin's little biplane over there, and I thought it was interesting because he said, you know, the engine quits, you can, you know, your pilot skills will probably be able to get it back on the ground, but if you have a control failure, this is not going to be good. So his, it was good for me also because he said, you know, he was taking all the panels off the airplane to look at the controls and make sure that the control functionality was all proper. I know for from my experience, I've had a jammed elevator before in an airplane that I was flying as a newcomer into an extra with somebody else, and it, you know, nearly caused a big deal. So having control functionality in these things is very important in any airplane, but especially what we do, going upside down and tumbling, it's important to make sure the airplane's clean and well pre-flighted.
Yeah. Rob, you want to add anything to that?
I mean, obviously you're going to make sure the aircraft's mechanically sound. I do air shows for a living and flying pretty close to the ground, so obviously it's utmost importance to make sure the airplane's working properly. I got a great crew in the road with me who helps take care of the airplane. And then the other side of it, just looking at yourself and making sure you're safe and ready to fly. You know, if your head's not in the game, you shouldn't be in the cockpit.
Well, and it's true, and it's not just in aerobatic airplanes, but everybody should be checking flight controls every flight to make sure they have freedom of movement, that their passenger maybe hasn't got something that's blocking a control. It's so easy to have a problem with flight controls, and it's so basic a thing. My Cub was annualed a couple months ago, and I showed up after the annual, and there was a box sitting there next to the plane. And he said, "Are you missing anything?" And I said, "Well, I didn't think so." He said, "Yo, well, check out that box. That's all your stuff." And I said, "Well, I don't think I left that in the plane." He said, "Oh, yeah, it was all in the tail." So it's really important to be sure that stuff in your airplane is secured, whether you're flying aerobatics or not.
And it's one of the things of the IAC, we talk about these safety issues, but for you know, people that look at what's being done out here and they see this this type of flying, it's not a mystery, it's not magic. It's a series of small incremental steps that Rob and Jeff have been talking about, and the IAC is a wonderful platform to go through, and a lot of that's because of the safety. We're a very, very safety oriented organization. We police each other. We're inspecting each other's airplanes, and there's a very strict set of rules that we follow. And if early on you fly too low, you get disqualified from the flight, maybe disqualified from the contest, and people sit you down and talk to you. So it's a very step-by-step, safe way to progress through aerobatics. And again, we're open to not only the aerobatic pilots, but the aerobatic enthusiasts. And so safety is job number one in the IAC.
Rob, anything to add? We have just another couple minutes. Anything you guys would like to add, talk about, stress, whatever?
Have fun.
Have fun.
Come on,
yeah.
Check
out the IAC.
Well,
here
at Oshkosh, this is I've been in Oshkosh 25 years, since 1976, and this is my first year performing here. And I got my start flying model airplanes, then UND, and then the IAC, and this is what's brought me here today, and to be here all this week and just enjoying this dream. It's just really fantastic. And I'd like to thank Doug at the IAC and everyone that's helped me along the way. It's really been a great ride.
Yeah, it's funny. Jeff was talking. I says, "Well, Jeff, what do you think?" He says, "Just pinch me. I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm here." And if you're watching the air show, flying
Thursday
and
Friday,
and Rob, you're flying next year. That's right. Yeah, he's flying the championships. But boy, I've watched both these guys fly here. You're going to see some incredible stuff. And but I just get a kick out of me. He says, "Pinch me. This is my dream."
Okay, guys. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on EAA Radio.
Thank you.
And good luck to you this week. We'll look forward to your air show, Jeff. And Rob, good luck with the championships. Are they finished now, or are you still competing this year?
The championships, they'll be the end of August, beginning of September over in Italy.
Okay, great.
We'll be in Italy for the World Championships.
Where in Italy are they having those?
Foligno.
Foligno?
Yeah, there.
That one? Okay.
Just north of Rome.
Ah, grazie. All right, we are on the fly. We're going to wrap up this segment tomorrow. We're going to head down to Warbirds. We'll be at Warbirds at 1 o'clock, from 1 to 2. A great organization down there as well. And then on Thursday, we'll be down on the farm at Ultralights, and Friday we'll be over at the Light Sport Mall, and then on Saturday at the Seaplane Base. So stay tuned to EA Radio. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jay Monchi signing off. We are on the fly.